Say good morning once again. I'm so glad that we could be here on this Lord's Day morning. And I know that we have definitely been celebrating. I said, as I stated earlier in the announcements, I have been celebrating Father's Day. And we actually had a little bit of celebration before that over there in Jasper and met with my dad and them, since a lot of times we can't always get together like we want to. And those are the times that we take for granted. Back when I was growing up, I didn't really see all that there was to fathers until you actually become one. I guess that's where it really hits home, doesn't it? And, of course, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about a faithful father. Psalm 128, I'll start out to read. It's a very short psalm as we introduce the lesson. Psalm 128 states in the six verses, it says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion," he says, "and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." That psalm means a lot when it starts talking about who the happy people are. We talk about Mother's Day, about a mother to be honored. And this morning we're going to talk about a father to be honored. This is really kind of a sad situation as well, as we look around in our nation, in our society today, in the world itself, that you don't find really a whole lot of fathers that are described like that of Psalm 128, those who fear the Lord. A man by the name of David Blackenhorn, who was the founder and president of the Institute for American Values, and was also the author of The Future of Marriage and Fatherless America, he quoted to the source in June 15th of 2004, he says, "Tonight, more than one-third of American children will go to sleep in homes in which their fathers do not live." Think about that statistic there. That was in 2004. More than one-third of American children will go to sleep in homes in which their fathers do not live. The world needs genuine fathers, fathers who love God and love His Word, fathers of faith. We talk about fathers with character and courage to meet the challenges of fatherhood. And as I stated, this lesson is so much for me. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. We remember this verse, and matter of fact, we just talked about it in our Bible class and our study just last Wednesday. You notice that he said there, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." When I was growing up, I didn't understand that verse as much as I do now, because I thought that when I was receiving discipline from my father that he was provoking me to wrath. You know, sometimes we look at it that way, but that's not true. It was training. It was an admonition of the Lord. Genuine fathers. If you notice there in verses 1 through 3 to begin with Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth." Does that sound familiar to what we just read from Psalm 128 about those of the Israel? What did he say about living long, about prospering, about being blessed? "That it may be well with you." That's actually mentioned in Psalm 128, wasn't it? In those six verses there. Notice Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 26. Of course, the proverb writer has much to say, doesn't he,
wisdom. He said, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. In my job, I see a lot of that. I see it both ways. Parents who don't care for their children and children who don't care for their parents. Sad. That's probably most of my calls every year, is domestic problems. Proverbs 30 and verse 17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. This is something where we saw about mothers just recently. And fathers here are also to be respected and to be loved by his children. And they are worthy of their respect and love. Father is a very interesting word, and it's from a root signifying a nourisher, protector, and an upholder. And that's the way Vines defines it. Once again, father is a word that signifies a nourisher, a protector, an upholder. And it's very interesting that, you know, a lot of people want to know advice about raising children, of course, and just because I was a preacher since 18 years old and, you know, people had a lot of questions about their family life. I wasn't even married at the time. That was kind of interesting. But the only thing that I could give them was not experience. The only thing I could give them is what I saw my parents do, what my parents taught me, and, of course, go back to the Scriptures. You know, and that's where we find the father. The father defined. And I make that mention because I'm talking about God, who is the ultimate example of fatherhood. He is the ultimate example. Notice in 2 Corinthians 6 and verses 17 and 18, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Notice verse 18, I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God is definitely our supreme, our ultimate example of fatherhood. I want to give you three things that we're going to go through in our lesson this morning. And what God has defined as being the ultimate example of fatherhood, and also is fathers today in the physical sense. First of all, God is a progenitor. He is the father of life. He is the creator. And we find adoption within, as we noted there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18. You know, it's very interesting that you find much about this, but James 1 and verse 18, I think, is one of the sufficient verses there. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Notice it. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Going back to that creation, that new birth even. Let's talk about it as far as the aspect of how we become. How we maintain, how we become in that relationship with him. How we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness, Romans 10 and verse 10. About our confession. With a heart, or with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. There, the latter part of Romans 10 and verse 10. To repent, a change of heart, a change of attitude, a change of direction in our life. And we find ourselves turning to God, being baptized, immersed into Christ to arise and walk in newness of life, putting off the old man of sin, putting on the new life. And that's where we find that adoption. We find that of his creation, that it continues, not just because of the physical birth, but just like he told Nicodemus, of what occurs in baptism. Galatians chapter 4, submit this one as well, just to Galatians chapter 4. Notice something else with me. And there are verses 5 through 7.
Galatians 4, verses 5 through 7. He says, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We see how important it is to be a part of that relationship, don't we? To have that father, to be adopted, because he is truly the father of life and creation. Notice, if you will, the provider as well. That's the second one we see, that he is the father of life, that he is always constant. If you notice there in James 1 and verse 18, or James 1 and verse 17, we just read James 1 and verse 18. Verse 17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is where? From above, and he defines it, the father of lights is where it comes down from. And he says, with whom there is no variation or what? Shadow of turning. You know how wonderful it is? I'm very glad that I have been created. And as I think about my life upon this earth, and all the provisions that have been made for me, not only from my physical father, but above all, the ultimate example of fatherhood, God. Constant. But what about also protector? Who is the father of mercies defined as someone who comforts us? 2 Corinthians, if you notice there in chapter 1 and verse 3 with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. I also submit that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. Matthew 7 and verse 11. If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You know, it wasn't before that, in verse 7 as well, that he talked about asking and it shall be given you, seeking you shall find, knocking and it shall be opened unto you. We see the idea of someone who gives us comfort, who supplies all things, the consolation that we need. Progenitor, provider, and protector. So with those three in mind, and we see them from Scripture, it's proven that that's exactly what he is, the example, the ultimate example of fatherhood. Let's talk about those three things regarding physical fathers today that should follow this. That truly fathers today, to be faithful as well, that they are also progenitors. And what I mean by that, again, is to bring forth. We're talking about ancestor. That Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3 tells us, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, right? After his image, and named him Seth. Fathers give life to their children. It takes men of character to be fathers. You know, there's a lot of people that have children today, but are not fathers. Do you agree with that? I do. Like I said, I see it every day when I go to work. When I clock on at 11 o'clock at night, guess what? A lot of times the first call is going to be something of a home that is broken, without fathers, without guidance, without love. And this is what we're talking about, faithful fathers. Grave responsibility to bring a soul into the world. You know, I thought about it when we started planning about when we was going to have kids. She had to raise me. She had to raise me first before we actually have a kid. You know, and now she's got two running around. Well, at least I'm still running around. He's kind of ain't got to the crawling stage yet. He's working on it. But you know, then Jody and Michael had a baby. Then Nathan and Kayla had a baby. Well, let's just tag along. Let's have a baby too. So all of them can grow up together.
And we spend time talking about our parenting and, you know, all the plans that we have. There's grave responsibility in it. And it's taken far too lightly, we find. Just limit down to America. How about that? Because I have a statistic here for you. 24 million children. 24 million children. 34% live absent biological fathers. Do you find that an amazing statistic in the United States of America, in our nation? That's a sad thing. Because what we find in Genesis 5 and verse 3, begot a son in his own likeness. It's very interesting that throughout the scriptures we find that children will actually be similar to their fathers. And that's generally true. Not just physically, but we're talking about the moral character. We're talking about the spiritual interest due to the father's influence and the instruction upon the child that we saw from that of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. We'll see that again. Because we realize that like produces like. I always tell me times we hear that. Father like son. That's a truth, isn't it? John 8 and verse 39. Then they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, notice what he says, you would do the works of whom? Abraham. Notice he goes on in John chapter 8 and verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, you see how we're going to take this lesson and we're going to put some twists and turns in as we go along, right? Because as we are created and as we have the role of fathers, we also have the role of adoption as being sons and daughters to the father. But yet we also realize that we can belong to one or the other spiritually, can't we? The likenesses that we have, the influences that we allow. Like produces like. Values that children learn. Now once again, even on a spiritual sense, let's talk about this, right? Values that we learn. What do you say? If you are Abraham's children, you would do what? The works of Abraham. If you are Christ, you belong to him, then you will do the works that are Christ. We see where we're going on that too. There are several things here. Not only the values that they learn, but the morals that they hold, the character that they develop, the attitudes that they express, the lives that they live, are shaped by their parents. Because I was always known growing up that I was turning out to be just like my father. And of course, I resemble him, except without all the wrinkles. That's coming later on in life. I told Kenzie, I said, look at my father, because like produces like. When I get his age, this is what you're going to have. My dad's. But anyways, think about it. Really consider what we're talking about. How we are shaped. And as I was growing up, I had the same temperament as my father when he was a child. I was a very temperamental kid. And because of the way I acted and because of the way the things that I was doing, guess what? He was disciplining me. Well, we all had some things to work on, didn't we? It's amazing how we pick up certain things and the things that we're shaped by, the things that we learn every day of our lives. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I'm very thankful for this. And I wish that there were more children upon this earth that would understand this and would love it like I do and feel it like I do. And I hope Aiden, as he gets older, he will understand the same thing and he will feel it too. And he will understand the things that I understand now at 30 years of age that I wish I would have understood a long time ago when I was younger. Because Proverbs 22 and verse 6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what my parents' greatest joy is to this day? It's not about the things that they have possessed in their life. It's not the cars that they have. It's not the jobs that they have. It's having faithful children that were produced from faithful parents. And that's the things that's everlasting. That's the things that live on. We lose sight of that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I remember that from when I was a kid, the things that I learned. But not only that, but as we stated, fathers are also providers. Providers. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells us in verses 14 and 15, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Verse 15, and I will verily, very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, Paul said. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. He really put some things in perspective as he took the physical aspect and he applied it spiritually as well, as we're doing this morning, about what he was willing to give, the things that he was willing to provide of himself to make sure that they were taken care of, to make sure that they were provided for, spiritually even. Physical provisions is one of the things that we understand. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Kenzie loves the version that says infidel. That's her favorite word there, infidel. But you know how true that really is? He does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, and it's worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. There are physical provision because really that requires faith in God, doesn't it? Don't you agree that that requires faith in God and the physical provisions? Matthew chapter 6. What does he talk about in Matthew chapter 6 on the classic text on worry? Well, it just so happens that in verses 25 through 33 that he spends some time on that. I call it the classic text many times. He said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father does what? Feeds them. Now notice, the Heavenly Father is doing something, isn't He? He's feeding them. He's providing for them, even we say the smallest creatures of the world. And He says that they, are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We're talking about faith here. 1 Thessalonians 4 also. Let's put that one there with that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. Paul had this to say. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life
He says to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. There's much to say. It's about having the proper perspective to begin with, about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but yet also doing what we're supposed to physically. Does it demand sacrifice? Yes. Work? Yes. We find a lot of people in the United States that does not want to put forth the effort, though, do they? We say with just the fact of the matter is they don't want to work. And then they have children and then they don't want to take care of the children. Dedication, commitment, responsibilities. Fathers provide many things for their families. One of those is physical. We see the scriptures there about what it demands. But what about also spiritually? Notice Matthew. Well, see, that was what I had up there earlier. I could have put that up there, shouldn't I? Spiritual provisions. Ephesians 6 verse 4 again, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We're talking about the teaching. We're talking about the correction. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 talks about Noah. He says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of what? His household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. There goes that faith that we just talked about in the physical provisions. That the father leaves the whole training of the child. We're talking about the mind, the morals, and we're talking about manners. Noah was so concerned about saving his household. Don't you think that the family sure were thankful for that? I think so. Because we're talking about instruction in God's Word. Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to what? Their children. That the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Do you believe that this here, this thought, is missing today? Do you believe that that's missing in our time? You heard the statistics just a bit ago, right? We can't even get the fathers in the homes versus even the Word of God to be passed on to the children. See, we're missing the links. Because we see what the design was to begin with, don't we? Parents pass it on. And then their children do what? Pass it on. And I hope Aiden and our other 500 children that we plan on having later on in life, I haven't figured out a number yet, but however many we're going to have, that they're going to pass it on to their children, and as long as time exists upon this earth. You notice in verse 7 that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God but keep his commandments. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about faith, he's talking about hope, he's talking about thanksgiving, isn't he? He's talking about obedience in that verse. Notice there in verse 8. In verse 8 as well. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. You're talking about people that need to be humble, people that need to be faithful. We're talking about faithful fathers. There are a lot of those that run around that are not faithful to God, that are stubborn, that's rebellious in their generation. Sad, isn't it? Because we obviously understand that in to do what we're talking about here requires presence, it requires time. I know of one man that he talked to me one time about his family. And his family has disbanded. And we spent many times talking. We was a very sad situation. He said, you know, I was so caught up in taking care of the money issues, making sure that everybody had this and had that, and we have this big house and we have all the things. Do you know the things that were left undone? That. What happened to the home? You have unfaithful children. Rebellious. And now the home has been sold to someone else. So, Willie, what did it matter? The things that are lasting, the things that will live on. It requires correction. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Proverbs 3 and verse 11 and 12. We're talking about correction. You know, that's something in the United States I know is, I mean, I remember when I was growing up that was normal to be corrected. And for me to see a child that's not being corrected, do you know in my mind when I saw that in the store, guess what? That's not normal. And my question to my father and to my mother was, why are they not getting on to them? And for a child to understand that, because that's the way the mind is being corrected, that's the way the mind is being trained, and it all starts at the home, doesn't it? Where the authority is learned, because then we move on from the home life, and guess what? We end up starting our own homes. We end up dealing with things that, spiritually especially, in our lives. How many really want to deal with God's correcting us? How many people really want to hear about that? I mean, what about chastening of the Lord? We didn't like to be corrected when we were little. But what's he say? For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Think about that. Spiritually. Also, emotionally. Colossians 3 and verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Man, there's a lot of that in the scriptures, isn't there? It's easy to find fault in others, especially in the children. Zeke Flores talked about honoring fathers. He says young psyches need encouragement to build self-esteem and healthy personalities, and the honorable dad will do all he can to hearten and motivate his family with inspiration and encouragement. That's something that's missing too. And the example and the influence is needed. Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Because we realize that the children have seen us, that they learn from us and they live what they see. Now those who have been fathers for a long time, you see the results. Last but not least, fathers are protectors.
not only do we realize the protection from physical harm, we say that's sometimes a given, right? We see that even in nature about how the parents protect them. Of course, a lot of times I see mothers more so. I think you start dealing with a mother cub or mother of a cub or anything like that. They seem to be a whole lot more dangerous than the male ones. But you know, whatever. We understand the physical issues. But let me just hit on this about the protection from spiritual danger. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and 12, Paul told those of Thessalonica, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you in his own kingdom and glory. There are harm today. There's harm today of evil influences and worldly companions. There's false teaching. There's sinful practices that's all around us. I think that that's what scares me more as a father than anything else in this world. I go to work not knowing if I'm going to come home. I'm not as concerned physically. I mean, I was hunting for a guy that was armed with a gun the other night in the tall grass near Flat Fork Creek. Seems to be just doing a job. What I'm more concerned about, though, is the harm of evil influences. I probably have watched more kids that I've dealt with since I've been in law enforcement since 2004 fall to the harm of evil influences than anything else. The worldly companions. And you know what a lot of it stems from? Because they don't have this. They don't have men who will step up and say, choose you this day and you'll serve. How many of you here are thankful that you had fathers like that? How many of you are appreciative of the influence that they had in your life? I am. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fathers set the standard. And as I stated, that's one thing that I hope that I can do and not fail in. And I hope that that's the same thing you as fathers are doing. Not just because, well, they're out of the house, but because they are still alive and you are too. And the influence continues. I submit to you to close the lesson here just very briefly. I appreciate your attention. But just simply a contrast of two fathers very briefly. These we don't have to go into a whole lot of detail with because they're really ones that we've studied before, I'm sure. Abraham is the first one that I mentioned in Genesis 18, verse 19. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. It's a very interesting recording that we have of a father that God could trust. Fathers, I ask, you know, can God trust us to walk with him? To lead our families in ways, his ways, to provide and protect the souls that's under our care. If so, then we'll be blessed with the Father Abraham. I hope that for myself. The second one is that of Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear you make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. Verses 27 through 29. And a man of God came to Eli and said to him, Thus says the Lord, Did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer up upon my altar the burnt incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Chapter 3 and verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. Eli is very opposite of Abraham, because he was a father who preferred his sons over God. We are told even in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You think about what Jesus said there, about who we honor above and beyond him. Improper priorities leads to the demise of family and souls. I've said it before, I say it now again. If God is not the source, the mainstay in the home, then the home will fall. And we see it with Eli. Versus that of Abraham. I'm going to conclude the lesson. We've talked about these three things here. And as we make this application, not only as those that are fathers that are here, but even as all of us who are children of a father, spiritually speaking, a father's joy and reward is this. 3 John and verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. This is what John thought of. He really thought of them as children. As he spiritually, as he guided them, as God's children, his spiritual children, that he was able to instruct in his life. Children, as a result of his preaching, as his teaching, that he was a spiritual father that brought him great joy. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice, indeed, I myself. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Proverbs 23, verses 15 and 16. Proverb writer's talking about his children. That's the greatest joy and reward that I look forward to in my life. The way God designed it. But we must also realize that there is the father's responsibility that we've said so much. Do not provoke your children, fathers, to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I asked this morning, hopefully we are the fathers that we're supposed to be. Hopefully we are the courageous ones, responsible, looking for the joy and reward of our children, and we're receiving the guidance from above. But I'll tell you this. The Lord has set everything, the standard, the ultimate example. I ask simply that all of us here, we have a Father. Spiritually, have we given ourselves over to him? Can he say, here it is, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth? Are you walking in the truth? Is God smiling upon us? Are we acceptable in his sight? Because that's the joy that he wants. That's his reward, just like us as physical fathers. If we have not given ourselves first to the Lord, then, my friends, that's where the problem lies. Have we been baptized into Christ to become adopted into this family? to become sons and daughters with Him in that relationship. If we have not done that, my friends, let's do that. Let's make our relationship with Him first and foremost in our life. Because once again, He's the ultimate example of the Father and one that is truly faithful, as we see from the Scriptures. As you get your psalm books ready, as Christians, as those who have put on the body of Christ, do we have improper priorities? Are we not those individuals that are worthy of honor? Are we not vessels of honor to Him? Because we want to be worthy of honor before our children and the children's that follow after, that we leave the right example. Let's consider ourselves. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Is it the Father of lies, or is it the Father of light? Judge for yourself. If you need this time, this song of encouragement, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?
I am in-